Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat from New York's 18th district, in office since 2013. Sean, you keep coming around and you keep showing up, and all of us love that. Tell us about the conundrum that so many congressmen, particularly Republican congressmen, feel about having town meetings with their constituents and feeling that they'll get shouted down so they don't want to have them. What do you make of that?
Yeah, look, I think they're making a mistake when they stop doing them, and that's happened with some of my colleagues in New York. I've been doing them. There's a lot of energy out there. We have hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, normally it's me and three old ladies talking about Social Security. Now we've got 400 or 500 people showing up, and I think it's great that people are engaged. I will say that I usually begin my town hall meetings by saying, if there are people here who support the president, I want you to feel welcome, and no one's going to boo you, and you get to ask a question too. And I've challenged the indivisible folks, because it's, you know, taken off. I challenge the indivisible folks to be better than the Tea Party. I think we have to do more than just tear down a president or be against things. We have to be for things, and we have to stay engaged, and we have to build, not just destroy. And so I think it's great. But I think those Republican members are going to really have their feet held to the fire, and they should, because they're getting ready to take insurance away from 24 million Americans. They ought to hear from some of those people before they do it.
Why don't you explain to people who may not know what the Indivisible Group is, who they are?
Sure. Well, Indivisible is a movement that has started on the progressive side of things, Democratic side of things, in response to the Trump election. And it's just people getting involved, and people call it the Tea Party on the left. That's why I say be better than the Tea Party. Don't just be about being against this president or being negative, which is how I associate the Tea Party. And I know a lot of people who are in the Tea Party don't think of it that way, but that's, I think, where it ended up. It just became this rabid anti-Barack Obama thing. I want to see people in these indivisible groups get engaged, stay engaged, run for office, volunteer, help out with groups that are under siege, like Planned Parenthood. There's so many positive things we can do. And I also challenge them that we have to speak to people who don't already agree with us. We have to speak to our neighbors and friends who voted for the president and respectfully talk to them about what they were looking for, what's going on. Remember, I'm in a district that voted for Donald Trump. So I take that very seriously. I try to bring some humility to this equation and say, I need to learn what was motivating you. Help me understand it, because you voted for me too, right? In other words, you know, 30% of the people who voted for me as a Democrat voted for Donald Trump. And when you get your head around that, what you realize is, you know, it's more complicated than just red team, blue team, or, you know, liberal or conservative. There's a lot of reasons why people took a chance on the president, and they're still pretty invested in it. And we need to understand it if we're ever going to come together and move forward.
I guess I want to ask you, and pardon my doing this, a budget question. You're talking to a huge public radio audience on 29 stations here, including your district. Many people could get it. In fact, I think it's one of our strongest points. But in the budget, in the president's budget, is the offing, as we would say in mafia terms, of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The last time they tried it, people like Chris Gibson and others voted against it. I'm not lobbying you. I'm just interested in what's happening. Do you think that this is for real?
Look, I take all this stuff seriously. I do think they mean it. I think they want to end funding for great organizations like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is just nuts. I think they want to go after groups like Planned Parenthood. They aren't kidding, even though 44,000 families in my district benefit from the cancer screenings and the family health care they get there. They don't care that we already make it illegal to use federal funds for abortion. They want to just go after that organization. Now, I do think we can win these fights, Alan. I think that just like last time, they go after every line in the budget because their budget doesn't add up. I mean, you have to understand, when you're trying to goose military spending by a huge amount, when you're trying to give huge tax cuts to the rich, when you say you want to do things like infrastructure, and I'm for that, but, you know, it costs money. Now, the problem is they start way in the hole on their other pledge, which is to do something about our debt and deficit. They're cutting a million taxes on the rich as part of this Trojan horse they call the health care proposal, which is really just a bunch of tax cuts for the wealthy and does nothing to fix our broken health care system or bring down cost. The problem is all those have a budget consequence, and so they go after everything else in the discretionary budget, even though it's a small percentage of our total spending, like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and they say, well, we're going to zero out, we're going to cut all these things, and they try to show some budget savings. What usually happens is up here on the Hill, you have so many supporters and friends and listeners who say, well, that's such a tiny amount of money, it won't do anything to really balance our budget, and it does such good, why are we going to do that? And it gets dropped. So I'm committed to fighting these things, but I take them seriously because if some of us didn't pump the brakes on this stuff, I think they'd do a lot of damage.
Let's go to the first 100 days of Trump. How would you assess how he's doing? Seems to me he's getting somewhat of a bunker mentality. He used to be on every show, CNN and Morning Joe, and now you see him with Tucker Carlson. There's a question mark at the end of that.
Right. I mean, you know, it's pretty bad when you can't do Tucker Carlson, right? It's pretty bad when you can't go on Fox without them pointing out that some of the things you've said don't hold up. Look, what I say to my folks who voted for the president is I know you want us to work together and I know you want us to get things done. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. All this other crap is just theater. But it's really hard to work with this guy. Excuse me, I want to be respectful. It's very hard to work with the president on lowering the cost of prescription drugs, which I would love to do, or on infrastructure, which he says he wants to do, or on growing the economy, creating jobs, bringing jobs back. There's a lot of things we want to work on together. It's so hard to do that when the president goes out and calls the press the enemy of the American people, or has a travel ban that is, you know, unconstitutional because it's a religious test that favors Christians over Muslims, or he undermines the independent federal judiciary, or ignores the emoluments clause of the Constitution. I mean, all of these things where he spends his day talking about who's buying what at Nordstrom's and his daughter's clothing line instead of focusing on jobs and the economy and healthcare and drug prices and infrastructure. And so I think what he's done is that he's wasting time, and he may not realize that he's losing capacity with every day. And on the political side, I know Democrats think that's great, but on the official side, on the policy side, none of us should want gridlock. None of us should want him to fail on the big issues of helping people, you know, with jobs and growing this economy and building our country again. So I wish he would settle down and focus on areas where we could work together. And this sideshow of his first 100 days and all of this craziness undermines his ability to get things done. And that's my concern with what he's doing, beyond the fact that it's deeply offensive and a real threat to our constitutional consensus that has governed, you know, even our partisan fights for a long time.
Well, a lot of people think he's doing it just to divert attention with the craziness from the substantive stuff. Do you go along with that?
I don't know that there's a method to this. I think it's his style. I think in some ways he's more comfortable in the conflict and in the media cycle than he is with the real day-to-day work of getting things done. You know, it's easy in these jobs to just think you're sent to Washington to get on some cable channel and yell at somebody. I think you know me well enough to know that, you know, I've focused on getting things done. That means working across the aisle. You know, when I say to people I've passed 25 bills into law, improving our infrastructure, making our trains safer, helping our veterans, getting farmers a better deal in the Hudson Valley. You know, they're shocked because they didn't know that we could get together and work on Lyme disease like we're doing, or the opioid crisis like I'm doing. But that means you're not on cable TV yelling at somebody. You're not doing the, you know, pie in the face stuff. You're sitting down, rolling up your sleeves and saying, where can we work together? That is what I'm hoping this president will come around to. I'm afraid that his style and his experience is as a media performance that's conflict-driven or sensationalist, and that's at odds with making real progress. It'd be better if we were a little more boring and a little more productive and we help people with real problems, I guess what I'm saying.
It's always great to talk to Sean Patrick Maloney, a congressman who keeps talking to us, and that's what we're after.
like a stray dog that you fed one too many times, just keeps coming around.
And Sean, we are so grateful. And when we come back the next time, we got lots more to talk about. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.